The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Inflation is our friend. For example, consider this. In the year 2000, if current trends continue, the average blue-collar annual wage in this country will be $568,000. Think what this inflated world of the future will mean. Most Americans will be millionaires. Everyone will feel like a big shot. But what about people on fixed incomes? They have always been the true victims of inflation. That's why I will present to Congress the Inflation Maintenance Program, whereby the U.S. Treasury will make up any inflation-caused losses through direct tax rebates to the public in cash. Now, you may say, won't that cost a lot of money? Won't that increase the deficit? Sure it will. But so what? We'll just print more money. Sure, the glut of dollars will cause even more inflation, but who cares? Everybody will be a millionaire.
That's back when Saturday Night Live was a little funnier than today and somewhat relevant, mocking Jimmy Carter, all of the inflation years of the late 1970s. Some of you are old enough to remember those times. Mocking him for printing off money, for running up inflation. Everybody's going to be a millionaire, says the comedian. I mean, that's parody in 1978. Today it's happening. Today it's happening. I'll play a clip for you in just a moment from the fake president going on and on about how great the economy is. It's just wonderful. We're printing off all this money. Inflation skyrocketing. Everyone's a millionaire, one would think. We have a lot to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show, as you know, you should. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the live video stream, however, you've got to go to our very own website. That's thetrumpet.com, thetrumpet.com. Just put /live. That'll take you right to the live stream page. You get to the live stream broadcast every day at 11 a.m. or 11:05 here in the central time zone of the United States. And you just have to make the adjustment depending upon where you listen in from. And judging by the emails we get, we do have listeners. We have viewers from all over the world. So as I say, we certainly appreciate you joining our audience. So the fake president, as I say, here he is yesterday. His handlers, of course, have been working with this same narrative that inflation's a good thing. Inflation means that people are out spending money again. We're recovering from COVID. Well, if there are a few problems, just know it's because of COVID. It's because of Putin. It's certainly not because of any of the Biden administration's policies. Certainly not. Here's Joe Biden yesterday, clip one.
Great. Folks, I spent a lot of time talking about the economy and the record-breaking economic comeback we're experiencing because of a lot of you sitting out there in those chairs. Over the course of my presidency, the economy has now created 7.9 million jobs. More jobs in the first 14 months than any president ever, in large part because of all of you. Not a joke.
He's talking to truck drivers in particular. Made the same false claim, by the way, that he used to be a truck driver. Not true. But it's the same with his take on the economy. A record-breaking economic recovery? Really? Try telling that to the millions of Americans that are just beside themselves over the cost for fuel, for food. This is from the news deck today, Peter Zeihan. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is reacquainting the world with the first horseman. That's no fun for anyone, but it's the return of the third that gives me nightmares. He's talking about food shortages. There's just more and more articles in the stack of news from our news gatherers. On food store, you may have seen the story coming out of Germany just earlier this week. Germany facing 20 to 50% food price hike overnight. 20 to 50%. This is Germany. This is the prosperous West. And this isn't coming to America. It's already here. Look at the numbers from the past 14, 15 months. This article, it's from Zero Hedge. It says, in February, Germany's cost of living rose at the highest level since reunification, with everyday goods increasing by an average of 7.3%. The Federal Statistics Agency said the jump from January's figure of 5.1% to February's 7.3% reflected the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So they're on board with, you know, blame Putin for everything. It says here, according to this commentator, president of the Farming Association, the food supply in Germany is assured for at least another year, though after this, the forecasts are less certain. It says, with rumors of shortages swirling around, however, supermarket owners have been complaining of the sort of panic buying not seen since the first months of the pandemic. People are panic buying. They're buying in bulk. They're buying knowing that prices are skyrocketing, that what they get today is going to be 20% higher tomorrow. Food shortages, supply chain crises. Here again, if you're old enough to remember the late 1970s, this is what ran Jimmy Carter out of office. That was Saturday Night Live. All of the good liberals over at Saturday Night Live just mocking Jimmy Carter for his economic policies. If only they would be so honest today. I mean, there are a few breaks in the dam, so to speak. CNN and others reporting that, yeah, Americans aren't buying it, that this is because of Putin or that this is because of COVID. This is because of the radical transformation, the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. Barack Obama, he makes his grand entrance into the White House today to celebrate, health care with Joe Biden, the puppet, and Kamala Harris. And who knows what kinds of discussions go on behind closed doors in this return to the White House for Barack Obama. The one who said back in November of 2020, I would love to be in a situation where I could control the presidency of the United States from my basement. And lo and behold, he's doing that. He's carrying it out. He's continuing. The Antiochus administration continues with his attack on the United States of America. It's all by design. It's not incompetence coming from an old president with dementia setting in. It's not incompetence. You can't even blame it on the dementia. This is an attack. This is coming from Antiochus. I mentioned yesterday the invasion at the southern border. No wonder Americans just tune out all of the communists in the media that cry afoul, whoa, Putin in Ukraine and now Hungary. Viktor Orban, that's the latest threat to democracy. Even as we're seeing the democracy in the United States eroding on every level. A full-scale invasion, unlike anything this world has ever seen. 7 million illegals coming into the United States by the November elections? That's less than 2 years. Look at this montage that the guys put together earlier today. This is clip 13.
And I'm really concerned that the Biden administration right now, they do not have a plan in place to deal with this.
Quote, the daily number of aliens unlawfully trying to enter the United States will nearly triple. President Biden's chief of staff tells ABC News that Title 42 is a public health policy that no longer applies.
Both of Arizona's senators say ending Title 42 without a plan puts Arizona communities and migrants at risk.
55%, so more than half of all the illegal migrant encounters ended in the month of February with an expulsion because of Title 42. So not only will more illegal immigrants show up at the border, more of them will come in and get to stay in. Illegal immigrant influx will only make our financial situation worse and potentially crime.
James, the last time I went to the border agents told me that the drug cartels are making $100 million a week.
Be gone. Of course, now the challenge is, that they are removing it in late May. They say that's to give them time to implement the processes because they know these numbers are going to skyrocket. They're expecting 30,000 to 60,000 people in May alone to just be waiting ready for this.
So far this fiscal year, there's been more than 800,000 encounters with undocumented immigrants in the Southwest. That's a 111% jump compared to last fiscal year.
What's your concern with removing Title 42?
Just watch the news that you all put out every day, what's coming across.
Right, Joe. So there you have, number one, it's a giant issue. And now you have another Democratic divide in an election year.
You heard one of the commentators there saying they're waiting for May 23rd when Title 42 is lifted. Tens of thousands of illegals just waiting. And then they'll wade across the Rio Grande and help themselves to all of the benefits that the Biden people, Joe Obama, here's your plane ticket. Go wherever you want. We'll give you a bank card. You've got cash. You can go shopping. Welcome to the United States of America. Miranda Devine at the New York Post. She says, as if the border crisis isn't damaging enough, with 2.5 million illegal migrants having crossed the U.S. since Joe Biden took office, now the administration is going to make it exponentially worse by unwinding the last Trump-era restriction. Title 42, she says, implemented by Trump during the pandemic to allow border officials to quickly expel migrants on public health grounds. It says Title 42 was the last tool that border officials had to stem the flow of illegal migration from more than 150 countries across the southern border. I mean, this is around the world, actually. This is countries all over the world that are hearing from the United States, the announcements made 6 weeks or so before Title 42 is lifted. We're going to do away with it. Just come on in. Come on into the United States. And they're lining up to do it. Listen to Senator Lankford. He's from Oklahoma. This is yesterday, clip two.
Not just I believe that. DHS, actually, in their own internal numbers, thinks that once they drop Title 42, they'll have 1 million people within 6 weeks that will illegally cross the border. The people are piling up right now south of the border waiting on the Title 42 drop. And they're trying to figure out how to be able to manage it. Their focus right now is focused on how to keep there from being chaos at the border rather than how to actually control the borders.
1 million people in 6 weeks. This is what we're facing. You thought it was bad last year? You thought 2 million in 1 year was bad? How about 1 million in 6 weeks? How about 2 million in 3 months? How about 4 million in a half of a year? Or 6, 7, 8 million this year? This is insanity. This is an all-out attack. This is fundamental transformation. Devine writes at the New York Post, we know what that means. More secret migrant flights fanning out from the southern border to a town near you. She talks about that airport in Winchester, New York. It was exposed last month by the New York Times, bringing in all those illegals in the middle of the night, of course. Got to do it at 3 a.m. so that nobody sees. Well, the New York Post saw, and so the flights stopped for a while. They sent them to other places, I suppose. But now the flights have resumed. They moved it over to a part of the airport where you can't very well see or take pictures from the road. This is an attack. It certainly is. It says here, President Biden dismantled Trump-era border restrictions on his first day in office. The number of illegal migrants who have entered in the U.S. is the equivalent to the fifth largest city in the nation. By the time of the midterms, we will have another 5 million. She says here, this is Miranda Devine, that's at least 7 million total, the equivalent of the second largest city in the country, almost the size of New York City. That's what we're adding every 16, 18 months now. Another city the size of New York. Devine says this is Biden's biggest disaster, and there have been quite a few of them. This is his biggest disaster in 15 months. You add up the inflation, you add up Afghanistan, you add up all the supply chain crises. This is the worst. This is full-scale invasion. This is Bible prophecy coming alive. As difficult as it is to watch, Deuteronomy 28:43, it says, "The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall be brought down very low." The stranger among us. all of these strangers. They're not Americans. And this is not a race thing, but it's very different. Immigration today, very different than what it was in the 1700s, the 1800s. When people were coming in and their background was Manasseh. They were Israelite. Not so today. Now, you can hardly blame these people. They're looking for a better life. They're looking for more prosperity. And the door is wide open. And the bank cards and the plane tickets are waiting. Isaiah 1 and verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your land strangers devour in your presence. That's prophecy. This is happening. It's prophesied to happen in the last days. Continue on with Isaiah 1, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 3. See what the prophet Isaiah says about the United States of America today. Enough migrants to actually fill out New York City and then some. Another New York City added to the mix every single year and a half. This is from our Trumpet magazine, September 2014. As I say, tomorrow's news today. Look at the cover there. Borderless. They're just erasing the border. You go back to Barack Obama's first and second term. We're in the third term now. But he's the mastermind behind all of this. This is Obama on steroids. This is why, I mean, he's sitting in the background. He'll come out of the shadows today. But, I mean, in the shadows, he could not be happier. Because Joe Biden takes the hit for all of this. Joe Biden's probably on the way out. Joe Biden, give the pardon to my son Hunter, and then I'll ride off into the sunset. The Trumpet said here, liberal progressives envision a world without borders. They want open borders. They don't want to send anyone home. They want amnesty for all illegal aliens. They want the federal government to handle the situation indeed, not by locking the door, but by taking it off its hinges. This is what they have vowed to do from the very beginning, to fundamentally transform the United States of America. That was in the Trumpet magazine 8 years ago. We wrote, and so the all-out assault on America's southern border will continue, and it will contribute not only to the transformation of the nation, and of the erasing of its border security, but to its actual destruction. That's the Trumpet magazine 8 years ago. That is tomorrow's news today. Can you see why there's so much hatred and contempt for Donald Trump? For all things Donald Trump. Because he's the only one who resists against this. He's the only one that fights it. The rest in the government, it's just like a uni party, basically. A little bit of resistance here and there. Look at the Senate. Mitt Romney and Murkowski and I forget the name of the other one. Just caving in. The most radical Supreme Court justice in the history of the United States. And here are these Republicans in name only. They just cave in. Yeah, it's all right to put someone on the bench who loves to spread child pornography, who loves to let pedophiles out of prison. Yeah. Yeah, this is 2022 after all. I mean, we've got to get the children involved in all of these sex crimes. We've got to get the children going on their transgender operations. That's what we want, I guess. What must the people think in the states where Susan Collins comes from, Murkowski, I think she's in Alaska, Romney, of course, Utah. They head off to Washington. They say, I'm a real conservative. Oh, yes. And then they just cave in and go along. And then all the media pretending as if this is the first time there's ever been a black woman nominee. They forget. There was one that said this would be the first black Supreme Court justice, as if Clarence Thomas doesn't even exist. He doesn't count because he's on the conservative side. I mean, these people. The demons are having their heyday. The spirit, Satan's spirit, is strong in Washington, D.C. There was that Sunday New York Times story about the DOJ and Joe Biden wanting them to go after Donald Trump. They never let up. They never slow down. They continue on with their agenda. And, of course, the Democrats, they're always in lockstep. It's like this demon-inspired vice grip. None of them break free from it. You've always got Republicans breaking ranks. It's surprising that more Republicans in the committee that heard that radical justice in her testimony. It's surprising that some of them didn't cave in. It was an 11-11 split, but thanks to Mitt Romney and thanks to his friends, Collins and Murkowski, Judge Jackson, she just goes right on through this week, I'm sure, sometime this week. But coming back to this New York Times piece from Sunday, it says the Attorney General's deliberative approach has come to frustrate Democratic allies of the White House and at times President Biden himself. As recently as late as last year, Mr. Biden confided to his inner circle that he believed former President Donald J. Trump was a threat to democracy and should be prosecuted, according to two people familiar with his comments. You've got to go after Trump, he says to the DOJ. Now, he says publicly, now there's no connection with me, my administration, and the DOJ. Of course not. Right. He says, on the one hand, Hunter's innocent. I don't have any idea what the DOJ is doing. I'm not involved in that. Well, how do you know he's innocent then? Listen to President Trump. I mentioned these from yesterday or on yesterday's show. This is from the weekend rally in Michigan. President Trump said this, clip 8.
With their extremist sex and gender ideology, the Democrat Party is waging war on reality, war on science, war on children, war on women.
And war on Donald Trump and anyone associated with him, as you can see from this ever-widening January 6th commission investigation. It's an insurrection. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to the United States, they say. Worst thing since the Civil War, they say. It has to be huge because it's meant to cover up the steal, the election steal. That's what they were going to Washington, those senators and congressmen. That's what they were going to the Capitol to debate or to at least hear the evidence of wrongdoing, of corruption, of stealing, of cheating on a mass scale. And more reports come in daily. Wisconsin, Georgia, now Pennsylvania. They want to cover it up. So they've got to tell you, hey, January 6th was a violent insurrection. Ted Cruz even said it was a terrorist attack. They all cave in, you see. They all cave in to the radical communists on the left who want to destroy the country, who want to open the borders wide open, bring in 7 million migrants, tell you that the election was perfect, that Joe Biden's he's legitimate, that everything's fine, inflation's good, that's a good sign. Everybody's going to be a millionaire. Isn't it wonderful? A record-breaking recovery economically. I mean, the lies, they're not even plausible at this point. This is just outlandish, some of the claims that we're hearing on a daily basis. Meanwhile, this is from Pennsylvania. It says Lehigh County District Attorney Jim Martin said Monday that there were likely hundreds of instances where people deposited more than one ballot into drop boxes between October 18th and November 2nd. I mean, this is, as Joe Biden himself said before the election, the most extensive voter fraud organization in the history of the United States. I'm just taking his word for it. That's the fake president. 81 million votes? Not on your life. Not a chance. Trump went from 63 million in 2016. He surpassed the all-time record. Barack Obama, 68 million. Trump was up near 75 million. But the puppet, from the basement, no less, the puppet somehow brought in 81 million votes. What a hoax. It says here, Joe Vichot, chairman of the Lehigh County Republican Committee, submitted correspondence on January 20th, 2022, to the deputy county solicitor regarding alleged multiple ballots deposited at drop boxes during the 2021 November election, according to a news release from the Lehigh County District Attorney's Office. Based upon the investigation, listen to this, Martin said he found that there were likely hundreds of instances where people deposited more than one ballot into drop boxes established for receipt of ballots between October 18th and November 2. Over the time that drop boxes were in place, 7,196 ballots were deposited and counted. It says, based upon the review by the detectives, at least 288 people deposited more than one ballot in the various drop boxes, all of which were under video surveillance. It's just like Georgia. You know, Dinesh D'Souza, he's got this coming out in his movie. All of this video from Georgia showing these, what did he call them? These cheaters, basically, getting paid $10 per fake ballot. And hundreds of them caught on video. Now it's Pennsylvania and a relatively small sample size. What was going on across the state, especially in these Democrat-controlled precincts? It says here, based upon the review, 288 people deposited more than one ballot. It says this is a violation of the provisions of the election code, which require that each voter deposit deliver only their own ballot. There will be no prosecution brought as a result of the investigation, because to prosecute those few whose identity can be proven would be unfair and unjust given the much larger numbers who cannot be identified and who also deposited multiple ballots. Does that sound like a fair and just first world system of justice? We can't prosecute this 288 batch because there were hundreds and hundreds of more that we can't identify. So just let it all go. Just let all the cheating go. Just sweep it all aside. Oh, and then pretend that there was this violent terrorist insurrection on January 6th so that we can just cover it all up. We can just put a blanket right over all the corruption and say the real problem is Donald Trump. And that Trump protest, that's the real problem. Listen to, speaking of Donald Trump, at his rally on Saturday night, he had this gal, Christina Caramo. She's running, I believe, for Secretary of State in the state of Michigan. And here's what she had to say, clip 9.
According to the state of Michigan, I didn't vote in the 2020 election. And what's so interesting of all the lies told about me, I that's the most infuriating thing. Like, why would I spend all that time at the TCS Center, knock doors for President Trump, and turn around and not vote? But then I FOIA'd my application to vote, proving that I voted in the 2020 election, even though according to the state of Michigan, I didn't vote. And there are so many people across the state where according to the Secretary of State, they voted different than they actually did vote. But we're insurrectionists, we're traitors, big lie proponents for asking questions. But then our media protects corrupt politicians and demonizes citizens for speaking up. So I am so excited to be your next Secretary of State to make sure that no matter who you vote for, what you believe, your vote counts and your vote isn't nullified by an illegal ballot.
The most extensive voter fraud organization in the history of the United States. This is what the radical Democrats put in place with the help of some big spenders like Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, they were cheating on every level. The mail-in ballots, the drop boxes, the elderly care centers, the, as she just brought out there, the fact that her ballot, her vote, wasn't even counted. But leave it aside. It's just one instance. There's just a little bit of fraud. It's only 288. People dropping more than one ballot into ballot boxes. So just forget about it and move on. Listen again to this woman as she points out the lawlessness carried out by the current Secretary of State in Michigan, clip 10.
Who does this woman think she is that the people of Michigan don't have the right to question her? Who does this woman think she is that the people of Michigan don't have the right to scrutinize the election process? That is what happens when you have people in government who do not know and do not care about the state or the U.S. Constitution. Last time I checked, according to my First Amendment rights, I have the right to redress my grievances to my government without being called an insurrectionist, without being called a big life opponent. Who do these people think they are? They work for us.
Who do these people think they are? Well, they think they control everything, and they've got quite a lot of control. over all of the levers of power in Washington at the moment. And so to steal, to lie, to cheat, to kill, to murder, it's no problem. The ends justify the means. This is from the New York Times. This is a quote from the New York Times. The radical left, they're up in arms. Viktor Orban, he won in a landslide. Well, this can't be right. He's an authoritarian. How could he win without cheating? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. This is in the New York Times. It says voter tourism also has something of a mail-in equivalent. Listen to this. Hungarian citizens can mail in their ballots, but only if they do not have a residence in the country. That overwhelmingly applies to ethnic Hungarians in neighboring countries like Romania and Serbia, a constituency whose votes Mr. Orban has courted for years. So he's pulling in a lot of votes because of mail-in ballots. And the New York Times is very concerned about this. How rich is this? It says here, by contrast, roughly 100,000 Hungarian citizens live in the U.S. or the United Kingdom, a more left-leaning voting bloc that includes students and foreign workers, but voters in Britain must travel in person to London or Manchester to cast ballots. Mr. Orban's government has rejected calls to open more polling places. So he's got control. Mr. Orban, I'm just trying to learn from the New York Times, right? He's got control of the drop boxes. He's got control of the mail-in balloting procedures. What's the title of this New York Times piece? In Hungary, Viktor Orban remakes an election to his own liking. You can't get more rich than that. Here's the New York Times sounding the alarm. Yes, about mail-in ballots of all things. In 2020, the radical leftist Democrats, headed up by Zuckerberg and Obama and all these people working in the shadows, distributed, and in a lot of cases, millions upon millions without even being requested. Millions of 100 million ballots. Mail-in ballots. We got to do it. It's COVID, after all. This is the COVID era. So they use that as a pretext to cheat their way to victory. And isn't it amazing how quickly they can smell cheating and stealing when it comes to anyone else using the same exact means? And yet, here they are. The accusations they're projecting, as you see again and again and again, they apply directly to themselves. That's right. Guilty of what it is that they're accusing others of. Look at the corruption in the Biden crime family. Consider it again in the context of all of the accusations hurled at Donald Trump. They're still trying to go after Trump. But his sons, his children, they were all in on it. They were all Russian agents. We heard that for years. And meanwhile, you've got Hunter Biden at this moment. He's enjoying the life there in Malibu, on the coast of California, in an expensive mansion. Secret Service is paying $30,000 per month to live next to him. Got to protect the president's son so that he can keep painting. And all of these reports of, and now the New York Times and others finally getting on board with it. Yeah, it is actually Hunter's laptop. He is in fact implicated in this. Not Joe Biden. I mean, it is a pretty clear separation between Hunter and Uncle, I forget the name of Joe's brother, Jim, I guess it is. Listen to Senator Grassley. This is on the Hunter Biden scandal just yesterday, clip 4.
What I and Senator Johnson have done at this point is bring out the facts and the bank records that prove that there was a close relationship between Hunter Biden, maybe James Biden, and business people in China that have close contacts with the Communist Party and with the military there. And so what's concerning to us, we release all these documents. What's concerning to us is Is there any sort of blackmail opportunity for China against the United States because of those close working relationships? But we can only expose the records that show that $5 million went from people in China to the Bidens, Hunter Biden.
$5 million from the CCP to Hunter Biden? You would think the media, Americans in the media, you would think they'd be a little bit interested in this story. You would think they'd want, in case there's any blackmail going on at the highest level of government. And yet, for 17 months, no interest whatsoever. Listen to Senator Ron Johnson from earlier this week as well, clip six.
Devin Archer met with Joe Biden 2 months after the Revolution of Dignity in Ukraine, 5 days before Joe Biden made a trip to Ukraine, was named the point person for the Obama administration. A day after that, Devin Archer is named to the board of Burisma, that corrupt oil and gas company. A few weeks later, Hunter Biden is named to the board. They collected about $4 million from Burisma. So it's just a timeline. What happened in just a month shows corruption is sleazy. Again, I don't know what's legal, what's illegal, but at a minimum, it is incredibly sleazy. And I think you have to assume, as Tony Bobulinski told us, that Joe Biden as president is compromised.
The presidency of the United States compromised. You know that it is. Bible prophecy tells you that it is. America is under attack, and it's not even just coming from the CCP. It's coming from the communists in our midst. It's happening right here from within. And then you see all of these connections, these disturbing connections. He's being generous, saying that it's sleazy. It's treason. It's treason. And we see it playing out, not just with respect to being on the take from the CCP, but opening up the border to 7 million migrants, perhaps more. The DHS themselves, their forecast, 5, 7, maybe 8 million. America under attack. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can send some feedback to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
On yesterday's show, we talked about how that the development of right mental habits, it really is all an all-important key to building godly character in your life, in your family, in your marriage. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, he said this in the booklet, Seven Laws of Success. We've got that in our library as well. If you want to call our operators and request a free copy, the number is 1-866-930-3024. That's the Seven Laws of Success by Herbert W. Armstrong. And he said this, I said once before, most people have no aim. They are merely the victims of circumstance. They never planned purposefully to be in the job or occupation in which they find themselves today. They do not live where they do by choice. That is because they planned it that way. They have merely been buffeted around by circumstances. They have allowed themselves to drift. They have made no effort to master and control circumstances. He says this is most people today, just allowing themselves to drift along, to coast, to be, as Paul said in Ephesians 4, to just be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, instead of moving ahead with purpose, with planning, with foresight. And of course, that starts in the mind. And our overall orientation ought to be spiritual in focus. Colossians 3:1, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." See, seek the kingdom and God's righteousness first, as it says in Matthew 6:33. A good companion to this passage, verse 2 says, "Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." I mean, it says in 1 John 2 that if you love this world and the ways of this world, the love of God can't dwell in you. Set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the spiritual realm. We need that, don't we? Because, well, when you think about this world today, as you hear in segment one of this show every single day, you can't put your hope in the things of this world. Someone commented on yesterday's show, that verse in Isaiah, meditate terror, and what exactly that means, and how we're to wrap our minds around the fact that this world is exploding in violence. And what are we to do as God's people? Well, God says to you and to me, set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the true gospel, the gospel that is the kingdom of God. That's the message that Jesus proclaimed. He came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God, saying the time is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what we can do, even in a world that's turning to darkness and sin in every respect. God says, turn to him in repentance and faith and set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on that coming kingdom. You know, the word gospel, we've pointed this out before, it means good news. There is good news in this dark, evil world. There is good news. The good news is about the future establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. The good news is about the character of God that he's reproducing in true Christians. That's good. Notice what it says in Philippians 4. This is verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." You see, we have to be in the established habit of thinking on these things first. As I was telling our students today in Principles of Living, you don't just wake up righteous. We wake up each day carnal, subject to the pulls of the flesh. Satan broadcasts as the prince of the power of the air. And like Mr. Armstrong used to say, he surcharges the air with his attitudes and impulses, with his thoughts and ideas, which is why we need to plug into God and his spirit and God's truth, so that we can think like God thinks, so that we can let the mind of Christ in, like Philippians 2:5 says. Verse 9 says, "These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul focuses in verse 8 on what we ought to think on, meditate on it, set your mind on it. And then verse 9, the very next verse, says, "Go ahead now and now do it." Think on it and do it. It all flows out from a righteous mindset. David said, "Oh, I just love the law of God." Psalm 119, I guess Jeremiah, to be precise. But same difference. David said much the same thing in Psalm 19. "I just love the law of God. I meditate on it day and night." It makes me wiser than my teachers, my counselors. We have a lot to set our minds on. Even in a world, even in a nation that's turning to Sodom and Gomorrah right before our eyes. In an article Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1971, he said, this is how to prevent sin. He said, the way to put a thing out of the mind is to put an opposite thought in. See, this is the fundamental lesson of the days of unleavened bread. Get the leavening out and replace it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, 1 Corinthians 5. He says, try using the same method on yourself, but instead of material or worldly things, a mature person should use self-discipline and set his mind on spiritual things. Open your Bible. Put the study of some spiritual subject in your mind. Next time you are tempted, try it. Pray over it. Ask God to help you. See how rapidly you begin to win the victory over temptation and sin, and how marvelous will be your spiritual and character growth. You see, go to work in putting away sin. We do have to work out our own salvation. It is work. It's a lot of work to put away sin, to overcome sin, and to be filled with godly righteousness. Notice 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. This is the Bible definition of God's love, agape love in the Greek. Verse 4 says, love, that's what charity means, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeks not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God's love, it says there in verse 8, never fails. It never fails. It's just always hopeful. It's God's love continues until the very end. As I was telling one of our young students the other day, Matthew 24:13, I think it is. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Look at how many of God's people in these last days have not endured to the end. They went along for a number of years in some cases. Herbert Armstrong dies in 1986, and I guess that really shook the faith of a lot of God's people. And they just stayed with the church, the worldwide church of God, even as it, like the Titanic, had struck an iceberg and was going down beneath the surface of the ocean. And they had opportunity. Hopefully, God will have mercy on them and still lead them out of that Laodicean deception. The spirit of the devil is strong, just like we see it in our nations today. And so many of God's people compromising with the truth, compromising with sin. Spiritually speaking, out of shape, unable to go forward in this race. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul says, for bodily exercise profits for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. See, spiritual workouts, putting our mind through mental exercises, setting our minds on the things above, putting in that spiritual training that we need every day. Mr. Armstrong wrote this. He said, you were entering a contest with Satan the devil. You tried to... He's talking again. This is the same article, I believe, How to Prevent Sin. You tried to wrestle with him, the devil, but you were out of training, out of spiritual condition. Suppose a prize fighter would suddenly find himself untrained and unprepared in the ring in a contest with the world's heavyweight champion. Do you think any living man could win? How much stronger is Satan by comparison? No wonder we fail. Could such a fighter who had been dissipating, carousing, weakening himself physically, suddenly summon enough strength and skill to conquer the champion of the world. Satan is our great adversary. Satan hates the people of God. He hates the family of God. He sees the members of God's family, God's church, as a massive target. And he is on the prowl constantly, trying to take us out, trying to deceive us, trying to conquer us. And if we're spiritually weak, we are no match for the devil. It's like it says in James 4, if we surrender to God, if we surrender to God and resist the devil, then he'll flee from us because we have power on our side. That's much greater than the devil. Much greater than the devil's power. You have to work at this way of life if we're going to be able to stand strong or firm, as the Bible says, in the traditions that God has given to the church. Vince Lombardi, he's the famous football coach from back in the 60s, I believe. He said, you can give me the greatest football players in the world, but if they won't practice the basics, if they refuse discipline, and if they don't care for each other as a close-knit family, I will not produce a winning team. So you have to be working hard together. You see, on the NCAA championship game last night, it's amazing to me just how strong and fast so many of these young athletes are, 20 years of age, and they just fill this court. Every year it seems like the basketball court gets smaller and smaller as these powerful athletes are out there in the best condition probably they'll ever be in their physical lives. A lot of the coaches these days, they used to play back when I was playing. And you look at them today, and they're older. They're not as, I mean, no, nothing against them. They're probably still fairly healthy, but certainly not in the best shape that they were in back in their early 20s. This is what God expects of us as his spiritual family, his team. Mr. Armstrong dwells on this point in chapter 6 of Mystery of the Ages. The loner Christian is not going to make it. We've got to be a team player. We've got to get behind. We've got to rally around the coach. We've got to play team defense. We've got to go on offense. We've got to look for our fellow players and set them up for easy baskets. We've got to practice. We've got to walk in the spirit of love. Unselfish, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of others. This is the way we resist against the devil. This is how we build strength into our lives, our lifestyles, our character, our strength, as Moses told the Israelites of old in Deuteronomy 11. These commandments, your obedience to them, that's what makes you strong. Psalm 119, verse 16 says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I'm just not going to forget it. I'm going to keep it always there, right in the forefront of my thinking. The word of God, the truth of God. The truth, that's our sword. That's what it says in Ephesians 6. I mean, the word of God, it's the sword of truth. It cuts. Hebrews 4 brings this out. We can cut away that old man. We can put him to death. We can crucify the old man and live unto God and actually be servants of righteousness, as Romans 6 brings out. What a blessing it is to have this tool, this weapon, spiritually speaking. Verse 15 says, I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I'm going to meditate on your law, your government. Notice verse 97, the memory verse. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 98 says, you through your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You always have God's commandments, no matter where you are, everywhere you go. You have that weapon. It says, finally, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. This is what God wants us to fill up on mentally, spiritually, fill our minds with his perfect and holy and just laws. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet daily, as I said earlier. If you'd like to email the show, you can write to the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.